This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, June 3, 2018. The Solemnity of the Body and Blood of Our Lord Jesus Christ, or Corpus Christi, by Deacon Jason McCrimmon.
Take, this is my body. The Lord keep the doors of my lips and not sin against thee in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Bunch of hard chargers at the 10:15, y'all stand right up, right before the sequence, and stayed up for the whole time. I'm proud of you. Probably a lot of y'all come in and it's the awake group. It's like what I like to call the awake group. You come in at 10:15 and your eyeballs are fresh because you've got to sleep in an extra hour. The 8 o'clock group, they're not like that. They don't have the sanctification like y'all. They look a little drowsy. So just take that and put it in your humble pie and eat on it. Now, a few years back, I traveled with my family to Bavaria, the city of Munich and the rest of southern Germany, and went around the countryside. And most people, whenever I say I went there, think of a couple of different things. Pretzels, bratwurst, beer, stuff like that. Things that you would associate with that region. And you're not far off. It's everywhere. But one interesting fact about that place that most people don't know is that there's a variety of different churches in the area that have sprouted up over hundreds of years, primarily because of the Counter-Reformation. You could go into these churches and see all sorts of architectural styles. You'll see them spanning centuries and actually get what you would normally see in a history book at a first-hand look. There is a church that has a statue out front of St. Michael stabbing a Protestant. Not a demon, a Protestant. Right? You see these other architectural styles. You can go in and see Baroque, Gothic, and others. And then in addition, you'll see relics, if you're into that sort of thing, that will keep you busy for days. And I'm not exaggerating, days. Consequently, during this time, during the time of Corpus Christi, you'll see processions everywhere in the city. So when me and my family were there, we decided we wanted to go. Now, we thought we were being smart, and we would go and stay at one of the outside towns, one of the smaller churches that I'm referencing, and join in a procession with them. So we did. We rode the train out and went and walked up to a church, and we were sadly mistaken because everybody in the town had lined up. I'm talking hundreds to do this procession. And as they went along walking through the streets, as they went along in this tiny little town, you saw people hanging out the windows waving Bavarian flags. You saw people lining up the street. You saw people leaving those lines to actually join in the procession. So you had these five Americans who didn't understand a word. I could recognize them, but I couldn't speak German. And went along with them as people just joined and the numbers grew. And they went throughout the entire town. But one thing I did notice, the rest of my family didn't notice, was something particularly interesting to me. Nobody was on their phone. Nobody along the side of the street was tap, tap, tapping away. Nobody had it out because their eyes were fixed upon the procession. Right? They actually either wanted to be a part of it or witness it going by. And I thought it was telling because our addiction to technology nowadays, our addiction to escape the realism of the world, our addiction to be absent, of what's going on around us, because we lack the skills to be confrontational, because we lack the manhood, quite frankly, to actually stand up for what we believe in, will encourage us to pull these phones out, to sit in front of a TV, to gaze upon hours into a computer screen, and forget the entire world around us. And just like the Israelites, we will fashion our own God out of this phone. We will tickle our own fancies. We will look around and say, this is what pleases me. I don't need to see the world around me. And this is no new problem. It's been going on for 2,000 years. Early Christian heresies early on said there's something wrong with the physical world. It's sinful. It's dirty. We just want to escape it. And they used it for license to be able to do all kinds of sin, because the only thing that mattered was what was in our mind. The knowledge we could gain, the immaterial, the spiritual. But just like then, it's just as sinful as it is now. We see a time in which people will want to use that escapism to tap away into the phone and say, where is this God that I have fashioned? I don't want the confrontation. I don't want to share my faith. I don't want to tell people I'm Catholic. If I just sit into my phone, it really doesn't matter. And yet Christ today, and the reason we celebrate today, is that Christ has eradicated that separation. He has come down from heaven, and he has taken the spiritual and the physical and merged them before our very eyes. He has dramatically and decisively moved throughout time and space to take this separation of body and soul, to take what was marred by our original parents and reunite them and transform them in ways you could not possibly imagine. You could not find on a phone. You could not read in a history book. He has done it, and you get to see it every single week. You get to participate in it every single week. And so the reason everybody processes is to show the world that this is what God has done. To show the world that God has come down from heaven and reunited the physical and the immaterial. That God has taken the spiritual and merged it, transformed it in a whole new way with the physical world. And you're to celebrate it. You're to process it in the streets. And you're to tell others they can join in that procession. And yet we come in kind of callously and forget. See, the sacrifice that you read or heard today in our first reading from the Israelites was during the book of Exodus. It was a physical, visible sacrifice. It brought about the reconciliation of those people with the Lord and provided assurance that they were selected as a covenant people. It provided assurance that they were a kingdom of priests. It provided assurance that they were a nation divided unto God himself. It was symbolically and really displayed in the blood that was collected in basins and the blood that was sprinkled all over each one of them. But yet they knew that it was only temporary. They knew that it could not solve the problem of what had marred their spirits, the problem of original sin. They knew God would forgive their sins, that God would continue to bless them if they obeyed his commandments, but they knew they could slip and fall right back into the same place they were before, that the blood of goats and calves was not enough. This separation, this distance, was still there because it was only a substitute for the people. But when Jesus Christ met with the disciples during the Passover, he erases the distance. He eradicates the distance. He takes the separation and says it exists no more. And now he offers his heavenly Father, not an animal, but his own body, his own self. And he says, this is my body. This is my blood. And then he turns around and he gives himself back to his disciples, his body and blood transformed in a whole new way. And then you become transformed by taking him into yourself. And then once you do so, once you take it in faith, you're able to go out, process out into the world and transform it by your actions. Because, like the old adage goes, you are what you eat. You become like Christ. The early church fathers said, you don't have to understand it. You just need to chew on it, chew on the flesh with your teeth and let him become part of you. And that's exactly what you need to do. And then you need to take that out into the streets. It's true. It's objectively true. And I don't think we understand that. I don't think we actually apply that to our souls. Christ the High Priest is not metaphorically doing this. He is not using a figure of speech. This is not some world of imagination. This is not a make-believe realm that he has made up. This is not his truth. It is the truth. That is the difference. There can only be one truth. A little while ago, I saw a lady on a news report that had had a hard time growing up, grew up what she considered extremely poor, and had different things happen into her life, and now she had become successful through her calling. And she told everybody on the cameras as they were interviewing her, here was her piece of advice. Just know your truth and believe in it and keep pressing towards it, and great things will happen to you. That was not metaphorical. That was a perfect illustration of the problem of the logic of our day and age. There is no your truth. You might want to fashion your own God out of wood. You might want to fill your head with a different imaginative world around you. The only truth that exists is God's truth. And God is objectively on that altar. That is his body. That is his blood. He has passed through to a more perfect sanctuary, as he tells us. And as you pass through with him, you died yourself. You do not escape your body. You do not escape this physical world, this created world, but rather pass deeply into a physical existence, deeper into something within the cosmos that you could not have fathomed. You pass into the resurrection. Yes, it is something you could only have imagined, but it's as real as the nose on your face. It is true. Now, when I was in the Marines, one of the jobs I had was called Rope Master. And it's a pretty weak title for something really cool. You basically are the guy that ties up all the ropes and then leads the way to rappel. So you have to get everybody's harness right. You have to get the ropes attached to the building or to the helicopter, and then you get to jump out first. That's how they know if you did it right. It's true. And one of the parts of training that you had to do is you have to go make these various different jumps you would be asked to do. So you have to go facewards down a building. You have to go backwards down a building. You have to bound off a building. And you have to jump out of aircraft, which all seems well and good. And as you're sitting there, you're going, yeah, I got this. This is fine. But it's only whenever you're standing on the back of a helicopter skid that you actually understand the gravity, pun intended, of the situation. Did I tie it right? Is my harness okay? Is the clip in the right area? Is somebody on the bottom to tighten up that rope in case I didn't get it right and start sliding down really, really fast? So I got it right because I'm here. Some guys didn't. And they bounced. Still lived, but they bounced. It was in my imagination before of what it felt like. But then it became a reality when I was there. For the Israelites, they could only imagine what God would do for them. They could only think about what God would do for them. Others cannot even fathom what God is doing for you. Others will make fun. They will say, it's just bread, it's just wine. You're worshiping bread and wine. What is wrong with you? Why do you carry it around and process it through the streets? Nothing's really happening. Yet, you are here today because it is an objective reality. It is such an incontrovertible fact that God became flesh and blood for you, that he died for you, that he rose for you, that he comes to you on the altar, and that he allows you to take him. And that results in him becoming a part of you. Now, the Israelites wrongly said, his blood be upon us and upon our children. But we can rightly claim, please, Lord, let it be upon us. Let it be upon our children. Let that objective reality drive every single thing that you do. Let it transform you. Then you could take it into the streets. And when you do, when you process everywhere in your daily living, whether it's work or play, everyone you encounter will see Jesus. And if you do, they will want to join in the procession as well. Amen?